From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news from Friday, March the 3rd through Sunday, March 5th. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell reported in the Register Star that firefighters from various companies in Columbia County battled low temperatures while fighting two house fires on Saturday, March the 4th. In Hillsdale, firemen from Copeg, Carrieville, Ulsteinitz, Claverick, Ancrum, and Erckmont, Massachusetts were called out to a house fire on Route 22 in Hillsdale around 3 p.m. No injuries were reported. In Claremont, flames destroyed a mobile home on Lasher Road near the border of Columbia and Dutchess County. The home became fully engulfed in flames shortly after 5 p.m. Fire companies from Claremont, Livingston, and Tivoli responded. Josepha Velasquez and Dan Goldberg reported at Politico New York that the state does not yet have plans for what to do if the Affordable Care Act is repealed. Last week, Governor Andrew Cuomo told reporters there is no backup plan. However, Cuomo's chief counsel, Alfonso David, 2 days later said the administration was looking into using state funds to help residents keep the financial help they currently receive from Obamacare. But on Friday, March the 3rd, David said the Cuomo administration is not yet pursuing proposals to reject the repeal and replacement of the ACA, given that Republicans in Washington have not put forward a single specific proposal. Republicans in Congress have suggested changing the ACA tax credit from an income-based subsidy to tax credits based on age. According to a leaked draft of that plan, tax credits would range from $2,000 per year for people under 30 to $4,000 per year for people over 60. As of January 31, 2016, nearly 150,000 people in New York relied on roughly $300 million in subsidies to purchase private health insurance from the State Health Exchange. The Daily Freeman reported that Meredith J. Kane was elected chair of the Olana Partnership Board of Trustees in January. Kane is serving her 6th year as a trustee. She will succeed David Redden, who stepped down after serving 10 years on the board. Kane is a partner at Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Warthon, and Garrison. The board also elected 3 new trustees and re-elected 6 current trustees to 3-year terms. The new trustees are Kate C. Goberman, Ricky Lark, and Kelly M. Williams. Jeanette Wolfberg reported in the Columbia paper that at a recent Hudson Board of Education budget workshop, business administrator Sharifa Carbone presented a summary of what to expect in the district's 2017-18 budget. Superintendent Maria L. Suttermeyer said, and I quote, "We don't have to make decisions tonight. This is just an overview," end quote. Voters will decide the fate of the spending plan on May 16. Carbone estimates spending during the upcoming school year will increase 1% to $46.37 million, paid for by $21.95 million in state aid and $22.55 million in property tax revenue, plus additional revenue from unspecified sources. The board will hold further budget workshops on March 13th and March 27th at the Hudson High School. Emily Masters reported in the Times Union that 65% of police and prosecutors statewide missed their mid-February deadline to report how many untested rape kits are collecting dust on their shelves. The list of police departments that failed to report included the city of Hudson, the towns of Cairo, Stockport, Windham, the villages of Athens, Catskill, Chatham, Coxsackie, and Philmont, plus the Greene County District Attorney and the Greene County Sheriff's Office. The Columbia County District Attorney, Columbia County Sheriff's Office, and the towns of Durham and Greenport all reported. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office disclosed it currently has 9 untested rape kits in its possession. The other agencies were among the 45% of the Capital Region to respond and disclose they have no untested kits. A new state law meant to clear testing backlogs and mandate timely testing of rape kits obligates law enforcement to report the data. However, confusion about the deadline, how to count the kits, and if reporting was mandatory may have led to a low participation rate. Amelia Teasdale reported in the Columbia paper that the Chatham Village Board unanimously voted to raise water and sewer rates beginning this month after a public hearing where several residents questioned the need for the increase. Residents will now pay 45 cents per cubic foot of water used and 45 cents for sewer service. The water outside the village is now 9 cents per cubic foot for water, plus special new rates for Price Chopper and the Chatham School District. Mayor Tom Curran said increased costs are the reason for the rate hikes, with the village needing to build a tank at the open reservoir that has been leaking 50,000 gallons a day for several years. Matthew Hamilton reported at Capital Confidential that State Commission on Judicial Conduct, in its annual report released Friday, March the 3rd, warned judges of the perils of social media. The commission cautioned that, and I quote, a judge must be wary of inviting or engaging in social media dialogue with lawyers, litigants, witnesses, or others who may be involved in pending litigation, end quote. A St. Lawrence County judge was admonished by the commission last year after the judge posted a Facebook critique of a case involving a local town council candidate. Last year, the commission processed more than 1,900 complaints, making it the third busiest year in its nearly 40-year history. 17 judges resigned from office either amid or after a commission investigation in 2016, while one was removed from office. Amanda Purcell reported in the Daily Mail that President Donald Trump's recent executive order to reverse regulations intended to protect U.S. rivers has sparked outrage from New York State Attorney General Eric T. Schneiderman. Waters of the United States rule was signed by President Barack Obama in 2015 and issued under the 1972 Clean Water Act. It gives the federal government broad authority to limit pollution in major bodies of water as well as in streams and wetlands that drain into those larger waters. Schneiderman is leading a coalition of attorney general in opposition to the executive order. Paul Gallet, president of Riverkeeper, said the rollback could have an adverse effect on the Hudson River, which includes the shores of Columbia and Greene counties. Gallet said, and I quote, there are plenty of areas on the Hudson and its tributaries that would lose 45 years worth of protections if this illegal rule goes forward, end quote. The rule has faced criticism from farmers, real estate developers, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. U.S. Representative John Faso applauded Trump's executive order, calling the rule a, and I quote, dangerous expansion of the agency's regulatory authority over the 19th Congressional District, family farms, businesses, and property owners, end quote. The Kinderhook Republican said the rule unfairly targets farmers with miles of unnecessary red tape. The WGXC Radical Radio 2017 Winter Pledge Drive continues. WGXC must raise $20,000 to keep WGXC hands-on radios on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a partly sunny day for today with a temperature high near 42 degrees. For Monday night, a chance of sprinkles, mainly after midnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 34. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, sprinkles are likely before 10 a.m., then showers likely after 10 a.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 51 degrees. For Tuesday night, showers again with a low around 41. And on Wednesday, a slight chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 55 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 29. Sunrise today was at 6:22 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:51 p.m. That will give us 11 hours and 29 minutes of daylight, about 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 6th day of March, 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.